Good morning.
Good
You guys are cool. Well, I'm back. It's kind of a last minute thing. Praise the Lord. You guys missed it first service. I was sitting there. All of a sudden, I just got a real spirit of nervousness. I felt like I was going to had to go to the bathroom and throw up. And for some reason, after the second song, I came up. And I was ready to go. And Greg's like, I had three more songs. I'm like, oh, man. So, yeah, you never know what you're going to get. But anyways, so let's pray. So, Father, again, we just want to thank you. Lord, help us to have grateful hearts for everything that we have because it comes from you. And, Lord, even the trials and the tribulations that we face, you allow them to happen for a purpose for us to grow, to rely on you, to be dependent for you in each and every way. So, Lord, as we get into your word, again, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Go and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel. I taught a couple weeks ago on this with the kids in the back, and I thought it was appropriate to share it with the congregation. And talking about growing in godliness, and we all need to be reminded, because even as adults, we still fall into issues that can bring us to a halt, or we can get comfortable and not do anything, or plateau. Whatever the issue is, we're not above that. So I just wanted to share that, and this is a beautiful story, but what's interesting, yesterday we were involved, Proper Knowledge, Brandon James, young adults and youth, we helped out on a homeless outreach in Fullerton with New Wine Church, and it was just amazing watching these kids serve. They are playing board games, checkers, spoons with the homeless people, just showing God's love by sacrificing their time to hang out with people. When most people say, ew, ick, I'm not going to, that guy smells. No, they didn't care. And just watching them and watching these kids grow in godliness. And then looking up here on the stage, you got Alan, Kyle, and Eric, all product of youth group. There's so much joy in my heart seeing these guys up here growing in godliness, using their gifts and talents for the Lord. And guys, just because we may be older than them, that doesn't give us an out. We need to be serving the Lord, using our spiritual gifts, our lives to minister to the body and those who may need to know the Lord. So with that big old spiel, again, 1 Samuel 18, just let me give you guys a rundown of what's going on. Right here in the context of all this scripture, before this chapter, we see Saul, the first king of Israel, kind of on a downward spiral from disobedience. He has an unlawful sacrifice in the previous chapters, and then also just his disobedience, not taking out the Amalekites. He did not take out King Agag, and it basically, you reap what you sow, and they became mortal enemies of the children of Israel just because he did not do what he was told to do. And we can see his characteristic that he started off well, but then something got in there and he started thinking about himself. I mean, it's pride, you know, all these things that get into our lives that can cause us to veer off. So we see the process happening with him, and God already knew that. So he sent Samuel over to the house of Jesse to anoint little David as king. He's not a king yet, but he was anointed. Then we see in chapter 17, the battle with David and Goliath, that David went out there and said, you know what, I'm the Lord's army, let's do this. And his submission to the Lord, we see his growth. Then, but we see the decline of Saul, because David was filled with the Spirit, and Saul was doing it what? His way, for whatever reasons. Even though we see later on David really mess up, there's a difference here between Saul and David. Saul never really repented, but David did. As soon as Nathan came and busted him, he said, you know what? Forgive me, Lord. And God honored that. As Christians, we'll make mistakes. Maybe this morning you blew up before you got in here. God loves you so much. It talks about in 1 John 1:9 that we have an advocate, that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And guys, we need to be in a state of repentance all the time to grow in godliness, to not give Satan a foothold so we do not stop growing. So with this, we see now in chapter 18 where the saga continues, where David is brought into Saul's camp, and we see, here's where Saul gets tweaked like no other. So now, chapter 18, verse 1, now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knitted to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, his armor, even his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. It's a key word, behaved wisely, and set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines that the women had come out in all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet the king, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry and the saying displeased him. And he said that they ascribed to David 10,000s and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he want? The kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that a distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand and at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast a spear forth. He says, "I will pin David to the wall." And David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all the ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judea loved David because he went out and came in before them. What a sad story on one end, but amazing other stories. There's three key players in here. You see Saul, Jonathan, and David. We see that Saul is not handling what God has given him, not being a good steward, and basically flushing it down the toilet. Okay, he had an opportunity, he didn't go for it. God's seen David's heart and says, you know what, he's the next king. What's interesting in the midst of all this is Jonathan. Because if something happened to Saul, who's the next in line for the king? Jonathan. And Jonathan knew that, you know what, David's going to become king, because when he gave him all that stuff, he says, you know what, boom, you are the Lord's anointed. So you're going to take, most people would be jealous of that, wouldn't they? Or they would resent David from that. Saul resented David because what the Lord was doing in his life. And guys, we need to be careful that we do not let the root of bitterness, resentfulness, get in our hearts to cause us to stop growing and divert us into a place we shouldn't be. Satan is very tactful, very shrewd, very subtle sometimes to get in there, to lay out that little trap to get you guys to fall into it. You gotta be on your game. You have to be in the Word every day. Your life depends on it. But we got to understand, guys, and ask each of ourselves, what is the strongest desire in our lives? Is it truly for the Lord? Is our life, even though some of you guys may have secular jobs or do this or that, but is your life your ministry? Is every day sold out to the Lord? When you're talking, are you talking about the Lord most of the time? Or is there too much of the world clouding out the things of God and you can't even hear him anymore? Guys, we need to be on our game and always growing. You have to develop that relationship through intimacy. You know, the youth group, we all know this, is intimacy produces consistency. The more you spend time with him, the more consistent you will be. The more you neglect the spiritual food, the more spiritually weak you'll become. It's kind of a no-brainer, right? But we still fall into that, you know, because the enemy does not like us. He's going to go after those who really are desiring to seek that godly life. I have a lot of young adults that are fired up, ready to rock and roll, and they're getting hit the hardest. Like, man, as soon as I said, yeah, I rededicated my life, Steve, and now everything's worse. But that's honestly, it's a good thing, because it knows that you are going forward, and the enemy, you're a threat to him. So he's going to attack you. So he's not going to mess with those that aren't as much as a threat. He's going to go after those that are growing in godliness. But guys, what I love about this story is we see David acting wise, behaving wisely, and God was with him, and God was blessing him for that. And what I love about Jonathan had his back. You know, that must have been tough to be in that situation. That's his dad, you know what I'm saying? But his dad was tripping. I mean, come on, to a point that this song tweaked him so much that he threw a spear at him. He tried to kill him. And guys, when we are in the flesh, we are capable of anything. So we need to walk in the spirit and die to ourselves. Guys, but we need to ask ourselves certain questions as we continue to live for him, just to keep us sharp. It says, why and how do we pursue godliness? Let's go ahead and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Guys, before we get into the scripture, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 11, but kind of hold there. And the rhetorical question I ask is, why and how do we pursue these things? Well, why? Because Jesus Christ is our hope. We place so much hope in different things that amount to nothing. Everybody's looking for the answer to something. Amen? You know, what's funny is I was talking with Brandon and James in my office just about how sad it is, and we fall in this trap too, as everybody is looking for the answers in the wrong places. You know, self-help books, you know, not to beat them up too much, but Dr. Phil, Oprah, you know, I'm going down the freeway and there's a stupid sign, a billboard says, want a new life? Get new life? 1-800-THIN. Come on now. That's not going to solve your problems. You may be healthier, but you're still not going to solve your problems. And everyone's buying into this stuff. But Satan's using it to distract people from what they should be doing. Yes, we need to exercise, eat right, and get, but Paul says, you know, that's okay, but spiritually speaking is more important. And we need to make sure we keep everything in perspective. Guys, we are such a squirrely bunch that we just veer off so quickly, don't we? How many here get distracted very easily? It's amazing to me. It's like, boom, whoa, what's that? You know, just during... you know, first service. You know, I just had this feeling of nervousness, and I pray, Lord, deliver me from this nervousness. And then he gave me humiliation and humbled me because I came up with the wrong song, you know? But you know how God works, and I love it because that's the relationship me and God have. I'm me. And I grow through that because then guess what? I'm not going to do it again. At least try not to. At least I'm going to be more aware of it. But why? Because he's our hope. How we pursue by spending adequate time investing that relationship that's going to change our lives forever. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And guys, if you know anything about the Corinthian church, they were a funny bunch. Always in disobedience, just tripping. You know, God, Paul had such a heart for these guys and all the churches that he was involved with. But it's just how much time he invested through these letters and how I study these and just, man, I just see his heart. Even though they didn't deserve it, they came against it, Paul still loved them. And I know that God used the Corinthian church to even help Paul grow into who he was. And it says in verse 11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Your heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what has fellowship, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord does Christ have with Baal? Or what does a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple with God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As for it has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, chapter 7, verse 1, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Guys, that is amazing. It has Paul speaking to the church, but he's speaking to us right now, isn't he? That, you know, we all miss the mark, but we need to be reminded that we cannot yoke ourselves with this world. We are in it, but we are not of it. We are pilgrims with a plan and a responsibility for the Lord to live for Him, grow in Him, and shine bright for Him, and do whatever He asks us to do. And guess what? Be cool with it. You know, all right, once we gave our lives to Christ, it's not about us anymore. We've given up that right, amen? And we need to be cool with His leading, even though we may not agree or understand at the given time. These promises are that God will dwell among us, receive us, and be our Father. As we see Him, it should motivate us to holiness, as should it develop the proper fear of the Lord. Guys, I think a lot of it too is we water Him down where we do not have the proper fear of the Lord, and that's when we start playing those games, and that's when we stop growing. We think we can do it our way and still grow. It doesn't work that way, does it? Any adult or anyone in here that's been doing this for a while, you understand it just don't work that way. Because God loves you so much, He's not going to let it that way. You guys got to understand what you were created. You were created in His image. What? To worship Him. To have a relationship. Then sin entered in and messed all that up. Now, He had to bring Jesus Christ into the picture to redeem us from ourselves and give us that everlasting life. But while we get there, He wants to change us and use us for His glory and for His kingdom. Guys, the why is because, you know, we really don't have any other choice. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. And we need to understand that He's our hope, and we need to stop placing our hope in other things and letting them become idols in our lives. How do we do that? It's by cleansing ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh, as I just read in chapter 7, verse 1. But being filled with God's Spirit each and every day. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17. Guys, we need to remember, we have a calling. We are called to be separate, set apart, the sanctification process. Not to be like everyone else. And what's awesome is a lot of times, especially with the youth and young adults, they don't realize sometimes that they're actually doing it. It's just becoming a part of them. And that's amazing, isn't it? Just as we grow biologically, we need to grow that spiritually. As we just apply the principles of the Word of God to our lives, we start growing spiritually, naturally in a sense. And what's awesome, seeing a lot of them are sitting right up front here, is seeing them in action. Yesterday, hanging out with the homeless. Well, a lot of people would be afraid to go up and even talk with them. And it was just at the end of it, you know, it's like, okay, well, we do it out of the flesh sometimes. Like, okay, well, we have an event, get it done, and we're done. Let's go home. These guys were sitting, dancing with them, hanging out. I mean, I had to, okay, guys, it's time to go. Clean up. We got to go. But it just blows me away that by their actions and attitude is bringing hope to those around them. You understand that? And not just them growing, they're helping other people grow into an understanding of who Christ is. Guys, it is on. Christ is coming back so quickly for His church. And us individually need to be ready, but we need to be with an urgency getting out there and telling people about Jesus Christ. In the last couple of years, we've been, the Lord's really opened doors for me to do more outreach kind of stuff and team up with other churches because that's what we need to do. We need to go out there and get them for Jesus. You know, but we need to be a reflection of Him as we grow. And people need to understand, it's like, just because we're Christians, we're not perfect, right? A lot of people say, well, I'm not going to go there, a bunch of hypocrites. You know, it's like, whatever, just get here and just come join us and see what it's really about. Because we all make mistakes, right? And we see it, even though David was the anointed king and God was blessing him, he dropped the ball, didn't he? He stayed home when he shouldn't, stayed home for more, and boom, he ended up with another man's wife and then tried to cover it up. But as soon as he was called out, he repented. And every time we blow, God is calling us out to repent of our sins, to get right with Him. And then He's so awesome, by us being the way we are and falling in sin, once we truly repented, He's going to use that to help us grow. I don't know how many times that I've learned from my mistakes. Amen? It's a process. It is what it is at times. We just need to put the Lord first and let Him lead us and guide us and trust in Him and let that build the trust each and every day. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, and this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the fertility of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over lewdness to work of all uncleanness with greediness. But you have you not so learned Christ? If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, that old man that which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on that new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Guys, everything we need to grow, all of our spiritual food is right here. But if you guys are not devouring this book, then you are not going to grow the way that you should. God loves you, Ness, that he'll always try to get your attention, always cause things in your life to keep you where you need to be, to depend on him. A lot of us have our issues, our dilemmas, and trials. Amen? You can call them what they want. They're all just trials. You know, but in Romans chapter 5, what it talks about, they're good for us. Been justified by faith, having that faith in Jesus Christ, produces that true faith. So in times of troubles, then it's going to produce perseverance. Perseverance, what? Character? And then the hope that we have in him. That's what brings it back. What helps me grow the most is the hope I have in Jesus Christ, that one day I will be with him and live with him forever. But until that time, I have a job to do. And something that I don't have to do, I get to do. And that brings the excitement. Because how many here, when you're told to do something you don't want to do it, you're like, eh. It's like, come on. How many times you tell your kids to take out the trash and they're just like, they're just not happy about that, huh? Or do the dishes or this or that. You know, we do everything unto the Lord. But we need to set the examples. When we go to work, we're like, eh. It's like, no, I get to go to work to serve the Lord and be a witness to those around me. But what else are you going to do? You still got to go to work. So you might as well take the positive. I was talking to Erica, but there's so much negativity in this world. But if you look at it, you can still pull the positive out. Because why? Because we have Jesus Christ. Amen? So guys, we are called to be holy. We're not called to yoke ourselves with the things or the people of this world. I'm not saying that you're not supposed to interact with non-believers, because how are they going to get saved then? You know what I'm saying? A lot of people take scripture and they get legalists. Oh, I can't go near there. Look at Jesus' ministry. He went out to the least, the lost, and all the messed up people. Amen? And that's what we're called to do. Be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and grow into each day who he wants you to be utilized by him for his glory and his kingdom. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. What's interesting is every book I'm going through the Bible is pretty much talking about the same thing. Everybody's on the same page. Guys, we need to be on the same page what's happening spiritually. You know what? Again, Pastor Mark, Bill, and a couple of us went out to Costa Mesa on Friday for like a prophecy update kind of thing, what's going on in Israel. Mind-blowing. But Satan is trying to use that. He's using the media to not to tell you the truth, to put out lies, so you'll start hating Israel. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters because they're God's people and God's using them. And it's on, guys. It is, oh man, I was sitting there just blown away. I know Bill too. I know he was excited. He's like, yeah, this is great. It's awesome, but it's like they had commandos there. That was sick. These guys, look, they'd kill you. This guy sitting with his glasses like this, just talking like, whoa, dude. Yeah, I'm not going to. And then you notice that one guy had like Secret Service guys with him. The guys are standing there in little suits going like this. I'm like, wow, this is cool. See, God likes to bless us, man. You know, it's exciting stuff that's happening. But we need to be on board and let the excitement be a part of our lives and not let the world get you down where you're going to be ineffective anymore. We need to separate ourselves from that in our heads and our hearts to continue to do the job that God's called us to do. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, is there, therefore, gird up your loins. I said lions last service and someone called me out on it. They knew what I meant. Loins. I thought that was funny. I'm like, man, I was on a roll first service. Gird up your loins, so I got it right this time, of your mind, be sober and rest, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. as obedient children. Again, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts, as in your ignorance, the way you used to be. But as he has called you as holy, you be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. One of the biggest dangers for us to stop growing because we're starting to adapt to be like the world again. You know what? We all have emotions, amen? But our emotions, we should not be controlled by them, but we should let God control them. But he allows us to have a free will. So when we have this overly overwhelming sensation of doubt, what do we do with it? It's not wrong that we got it. It's what we do with it. We need to give it back to him. Because it talks about in James, those who doubt is like a ship getting thrown all over the place. Then they're unstable in all their ways. But when I doubt, I go directly to the Lord. Lord, take this away from me. When I get overly angry, you know, when I just want to have those outbursts of wrath, what do? You take it to the Lord. And then as he takes those away from you, you grow in godliness. You guys understand that? I mean, it sounds easier said than done. And sometimes it is. But it's a process that is the most important thing in your life, because it will save your life spiritually and maybe save those around you. God wants to utilize you. What's awesome is last Sunday, I finally got to see my mom for Mother's Day. I know, don't judge. but she, my mom, I'm a lot like her with my, how would you say, everything. How loud I am, I guess you would say. How outspoken I am. Get that from my mom. And she's always believed in God, but she would never submit to him and just give her life over. Some of you guys know people are just, they know they're just holding out for some reason. And I'm like, you know, I was on a mission. I'm like, you know, I'm going to go with my mom and tell her what's up. My mom, if you die right now, where are you going? You know, because she's, I contribute a lot of my sickness to her because she's always been sick. She's not doing good. So if you pray for her, her name is Mary. But we were talking, Shannon and I, to her, and God is really using this sickness to get her attention, and she gave her life to Christ. And I didn't have to hit her up. You know, praise God. So I was ready just to nail her, man. I was like, okay, let's bring it on, Mom. I'm not going to let you go there. But she said, Steve, you know, I've been praying, asking forgiveness every day, that Jesus would continue to clean out my heart and help me to deal with what I'm going through, so I don't, so she's like me, so I'm not stupid. Okay, Mom. Serious, because we can get like that. And praise the Lord, guys, do not neglect your prayer time. As much as you read the Word of God, you need to pray, and pray for others. Don't give up on anybody, because God wants to crack every nut and bring them into the kingdom. Amen? Serious. It's very important. Because my mom is like, because I know how stubborn my mom is, like, man, this is going to be an act of God. Well, guess what? It was. It was. And praise the Lord. So my whole family is saved. You know, just pray for my daughter because she's doing her own thing right now. But I know she will come back eventually. What's interesting is how we use that phrase is like, we're such and such. You know, and I don't want to be brutal, oh, they're in sin. Well, we say, they're doing their own thing. That's what it means. but pray for them. And guys, another thing, God places, allows people in your life that are not always the friendliest people to buffet you to help you grow. Just think about that. It's a process, guys. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous, not returning evil for evil, reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Guys, the scriptures I'm reading right now show whose God people are and who they're not supposed to be. We are called to inherit a blessing. But while we're waiting for that blessing, We need to pursue peace. We need to stop talking garbage on one another, the gossip. I'll tell you now, verbal abuse is almost as worse as physical abuse. The scars last longer, man. I mean, I've gotten beat up in my day, and some of the people who said stuff about me, Satan tries to let it hurt me. And I've been healed from the wounds, but the ones on my heart, it hurts. Guys, we need to be aware of what we say and what we do, and always understand we need to remain, continue to maintain our testimony and our witness. Guys, when you're always thinking about these things, then you're going to grow. Your life will be a life of Christ, that you put him on every day, and the word of God becomes a part of you. And it has no choice just to throw up on everybody around you. It's a good thing. I meant that in a good way, not like disgusting. So, okay, splash on the other person. Is that better? But, sorry, I'm a youth pastor. But one of the ladies goes, the verbiage you use, but I like it. Praise Jesus. Guys, it all comes down to this at the end of the day. We need to be set apart to the Lord by turning away from the world and pursue holiness. A lot of this stuff you guys know, but you need to be reminded, don't we? You know, the kids are like in this right now, and they're developing all this stuff. We know, most of us know all this, but we're still dropping the ball, so we need to be reminded, and that's okay. What are some characteristics of holiness? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 6. And this will just like pop right in. This should just strike your guys' minds. 1 Peter chapter 6. Sorry. Just kidding. 1 Timothy. That's why I got these guys up front to call me out. It's like, no, it is. No. My bad. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Well, first service, I get to the scripture and I look at it. And Bill can relate to this. For some reason, it didn't make sense. So I thought it wasn't, so I skipped it. I come back, it was the right one. It happens. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. This is a huge verse, guys. God bless you. It says, but you, and this is Paul speaking to Timothy, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. What does that remind you of? As you grow, you produce certain things. What's that called? Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Guys, as you submit and walk in the Spirit, these things will start becoming you. You will develop the patience you need to deal with people, the love that God wants you to have, the sincere, not the fake love because you have to, and you have to tolerate them or put up with them, but that sincere love. I was talking about someone yesterday. Is God allows those knuckleheads in your life to help you grow, to buffet you so you will love them the way God wants. He uses those people to touch us or to teach us to love them. You know, without them in our lives, would we learn as quick as we should? And it's amazing that God will do that. And it seems like the ones that hurt us the most, the ones we fall in love with the most. I've had many of those in my life. I mean, the kids that got in my face and, man, I just want to just run them over with my car. But I love them. But serious, but I developed such a love for them because they're just tough, and whatever their issue is, there's so many different scenarios that God, and I just fall in love with them even more, like my kids. It's like, man, it's amazing how you let go and let God, and he will turn you and transform you in who he wants you to be. Again, these characteristics should remind us of Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the biggest tools Satan uses to distract us from this goal is worldliness and ourselves. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. Starting with verse 15. You guys all know these verses, but we need to be reminded because we live in a place that's very enticing and full of distractions. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, The lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And, you know, John thinks of these as his little children. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. And guys, it's more cracking than it's ever been, man. It is on. And we need to be aware of it. We need to separate ourselves from maybe things in the world that are effective and negative. I'm not saying that, you know, we need to just go put in a bubble, because that's unrealistic. We are here, but we need to be very wise, as David was, in his dealings with his conduct in this world. It talks about it in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, I'm going to misquote it, so you'll get most of it. Let your conduct be without covetousness. You know, be content of what God has given you. Why? Because he'll never leave you or forsake you. And at the end of the day, what can man truly do to you? So that brings a lot of hope. That if we're in where God wants us to be, we're going to be okay. And a lot of times, fear will keep us from really getting where God wants us to be, because we're timid or we're tainted of what we should do. So we're kind of like hand shy, you know? We just afraid to go there, and we shouldn't be, because God is with us, and he'll provide the power, the wisdom, and knowledge to take care of the situation if we allow him. But guys, we need to be really, really careful of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. If you are not submitting them over to God every day, you can find yourself in a place where Satan is going to get you. Just like Saul and David. You know, again, we see Saul, what not to do, and David, what to do. Plus, when he makes mistakes, what did he do? Read the book of Psalms. He wrote a lot of the Psalms. Then he was a real guy just like us and had all the emotions, but at the end of the day, knew God was in control. Amen? On top of my devotions, I read Psalms every day because I relate with him so much. Because I have a lot of emotion. I'm an emotional guy. Don't judge me. Don't even start, any of you. You know, I'm very sensitive. But you know what? That's okay. But as long as the Lord is the one that's balancing everything out. Amen? And I'm growing. I'm learning how to use my emotions and not let them use me. You know what I'm saying? I'm letting the Holy Spirit take over. And it's a good thing, because we're growing. How do we remain to stay focused on godly things? Let's go ahead and look at Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. I'm giving you guys all the keys, man. We just need to be reminded and applying them in our lives. Galatians 5:16, Paul writes, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Guys, it's a spiritual battle, isn't it? Even Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 7, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things I want to do, I don't do. That's the spirit. And at the end of the day, what was the answer? Jesus Christ. You know what? We need to turn our hearts completely back to him. I don't know where you guys are at or what your journey has taken you, but if your heart is not completely centered on him, let God bring you back this morning to start growing again. Maybe you guys have stopped growing. Maybe you guys have plateaued. Maybe you guys are stuck in a sandbar. I don't know. God knows, and God wants you today. He's speaking to each of us. Other ways to stay focused, let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Guys, it's all in here. You just got to want it more than you want anything else. You should want a solid relationship with Jesus Christ more than anything else. More than a relationship, more than a career, more than whatever. I mean, anything can become distractions. From money, relationship, kids, marriage, whatever. We need to understand, if God wants us to have all that, guess what? He'll give it to us, right? So we just need to focus on him. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We all know that one. And all these things will be added. We just need to trust in him and grow into the people he wants us to be. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if we were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ is your life, our life appears, then you will also appear with him. And it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, free or slave, but Christ is in all and is all. Guys, it's interesting going through scriptures that I've read many, many, many times, and how, what an impact God allows it when I need it again. Amen. It's like I'm going through something. The Lord needs a scripture, this message. Again, I've taught this before to the youth, and teaching it right now, it's just like I did it for the first time. And it just amazes me how the Word of God is not boring. It's not as confusing as we think it is. If we would just let the Holy Spirit, as he's the one that's supposed to reveal and give us understanding, then guess what? He's going to take, we just need to do our part and submit to the easy things. And then just hold on when it gets rough. Amen? Buckle that seatbelt and just go for that wild ride, because it will happen. Guys, again, the list that I just read, we need to put those things, that list, to death daily, because sometimes they pop back up. Amen? Something that's been dealt with a year, a couple months from now, it could spring its ugly head right back up, and you need to deal with it. But ask yourself, how'd you go back? A lot of times it's through compromise. You're letting your guard down, sliding backwards, and that means you're backslidden. You know, but God's always, that's why it's so important to daily have a devotion and spend time with him. So it keeps you on your game. It keeps you right in the center of God's will with all the other distractions that are going on. We as children of God should no longer be disobedient to holy pursuits, but obedient to God's word, which is the only way to grow in godliness. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 real quick. I'm giving you guys a lot of familiar scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1 and 2, and then we'll pop down to 12 and 17. So the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, Hebrews 12, 1, therefore, since also we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Guys, we should have a joy as we experience God moving in our lives. The good times, the bad times, and the ugly times, it doesn't matter. We still should have that unspeakable joy and that peace that surpasses all understanding. Because why? He's in us. We just need to get out of the way and unleash him and let him do his thing. And guys, he'll blow your mind. He'll blow your mind, and you will have such a fulfillment in your life, maybe that you've been lacking, you once had, you don't have, you never had, I don't know. But he will meet all of your needs, and that is a promise. Popping down to verse 12, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. Okay, we need to renew our spiritual vitality. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. Make straight the path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. By this they may become defiled. Guys, be careful. That root of bitterness is something that you have not taken care of in your head and your heart. You need to give it to the Lord. You need to give it to him, because that will cause division, and Satan will just run amok. And that's what he wants. He wants to start messing with us. Two great examples of godly men who I love with all my heart, never met them. who were obedient, pursuing holiness in every aspect. And two of my spiritual giants in my life is Joshua and Paul. Joshua was taking over for Moses. And in chapter 1, verse 9, basically, I'm just paraphrasing that, you know what? Meditate on the Lord day and night, and all your ways will prosper. Be strong, he says, and courageous. Guys, you need to be strong and courageous. Why? Because God is on your side. And you apply his law and meditate on it daily, you will become the man of God he wants, and woman of God he wants you to be. And then we see the Apostle Paul. Once he got on the right page, man, there was no stopping him. He, whatever it took, he was going to serve the Lord. But you know what? He was human just like us. I really believe God caused that thorn in his flesh to keep him humble. And some of us have those thorns in our flesh to keep us humble. Guess what? They're allowed by God, so we need to accept it and run with it and utilize it for his kingdom. But to live lives can only be claimed by true faith and obedience in the word of God. We need to know God's word and pursue the lives we are called to live. Again, we see the examples of Joshua and the Apostle Paul and pursuing a life of holiness. No matter what it took, Paul did it to live out the life Christ called him to live, a holy life, and we should also do the same. Guys, why? Because Jesus took our sin upon himself, making it possible for us to become the righteousness of God. The way we live our lives should be motivated by what Christ has done for us. God calls us to live differently from the world because he saved us. And knowing all this and all that he has done for us and continue to do for us, we should consecrate or dedicate ourselves to God to live a life of holiness. Amen. I'm going to have the band come on up. But what I want to do is something that Pastor Mark does frequently, is to renew our vows as the body of Christ. Guys, it's always good to ask forgiveness of sin, right? But guys, when we are doing it congregationally, you don't have to, you know, be specific what your sin is. Just repeat this prayer and let God take it and let him forgive you. Because guys, some of you guys condemn yourself. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But after God's forgiveness, we still condemn ourselves. And then Satan uses that to stop us from growing. He's a tricky little guy. You know what I'm saying? And you need to be aware of his little antics. And you know what? Say, whatever. I'm not going to go there. But give everything to Christ. So guys, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all filthiness of this world and of ourselves. Thank you for dying on the cross and taking my place. In Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
God bless you guys. So, Father, we thank you are the beautiful one. You are everything and all that we truly need. So, Lord, help you to be the love of each of our lives, that we would grow into the men and women you want us to be for your glory and your kingdom. Lord, use us to shine bright into the world that's rejecting you, that more people would come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ through your people. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.